ya. Roll up and kick my feet out. This shit was for a ticket, man. I call this shit that free lunch. I tell her how to speed up. She slow and she can keep up. We know we always out, but somehow they would never see us. Keep the go chain, hoes change. That didn't. They say carrots up no vision, but somehow it made them. Listen, no, this ain't silver. This is my dilemma. Arrogant when I finish. I came from humble beginnings, so it's nothing to finish. And put my 100% in. Put my pride in the pinto and my.
And we are back on the podcast.
All right.
Hey. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Woo. We are back on the podcast this week. We got a full boat. We got a full crew. We'll do a quick introduction. Myself, I'm your host every week of Pop Junk Movies. My name is Adam. Say hello, Adam. Hi, Adam. To my left, we're all out of sorts right now. We are changing the seats. It's weird. To my left. You were not with us last week, but it wouldn't have made sense because you haven't been with us for a full year. We were celebrating a full year. You came in around October, so we'll celebrate your 1 year in October. But Corey Flintoff, how are you doing?
Hi.
Hi. And, sorry, did I cut you off?
Hi.
No. You had
that's
more?
All I had.
Okay. And across from me is the ghost of the most, the man of 1,004 holds, Evan Grover. How are you doing?
Hole one, armbar. Hole two, arm drag.
And it goes on. He's got 104.
Hi.
1,004, excuse me.
So is this season? Is this season two?
This is season two of the podcast. Yeah, officially.
Wow.
So we're into season two of the podcast. If you're unfamiliar with Pop Junk Movies, this is a show where we talk about movies and we drink copious amounts of beer, and the show usually falls off the rail about the 1 hour mark.
Yep.
So
that's when it gets interesting.
That's when it gets real interesting.
That's true.
So we'll go around the room and we'll talk about what we're drinking. And if you follow the podcast, you'll know that we're a big fan of the fall beer selection. And right now I'm enjoying two different fall beers. One is the Shipyard Smashed Pumpkin. Shipyard Smashed Pumpkin. And the other one that I picked up today is the Pumpkin Unfiltered Pumpkin Ale by UFO.
Nice.
And it's really good. I must say, it's very delicious. Corey, what are you indulging in on this fine Friday evening? Crisp Friday evening.
It is a crisp welcome to fall evening. I have the Anderson Valley Fall Hornin' Pumpkin Ale.
Are you feeling hornin'?
I haven't had it yet.
Are you going to get hornin' during the show?
I might.
I'm just saying.
I mean, Smash Pumpkins, 9%.
We're sitting very close.
That was deliberate.
And Evan, what do you got? You got a big cup of garbage over there.
Well,
yeah, you do.
As you know, I love to start off with a shit beer. So I got my Fosters over here.
Why?
You know why. And afterwards, we're going to dive right into a Sierra Nevada pale ale.
Yeah, let's be careful.
Sorry, I got it.
You like to
I'm good.
You like I'm to good. Tip
Evan
bottles.
Evan likes to tip towards the
I'm just
computer.
Reading it. I'm fine. After that, I'm going to dive right into a Sierra Nevada pale ale. I got the pale ale because they didn't have what I wanted.
What did you want?
The one I had a couple weeks ago, the flip side red... Red ale.
Flipside red ale.
I heard that on a podcast.
It's a red IPA. Yeah, it was
you
good.
Heard, you did. You heard that
I
on a
heard
podcast.
I heard that on a podcast once.
Very so good. We'll do a quick, we're going to do a quick now playing. Me and Evan watched a couple movies we'd like to talk about. And then I have some movie news. I have some Star Wars movie news that might excite a Star Wars fan or two.
Uh-oh.
But real quickly, let's talk about some movies. Evan. We both watched a movie, something that we were both anticipating for quite some time, and it came out recently. I think it came out recently. It was like really sparse, like it had kind of a weird release.
Yeah.
And now it's
very I think it was like an independent.
It was an
release,
independent
yeah.
film, yeah. We watched a movie called The Rover,
by directed by David Michaud.
Yeah, Michaud.
Yeah. He did Animal Kingdom.
Yes, which is a movie I have not seen, but you have.
I'll watch half of it. Like, I always only watch half a movie.
But we both watched The Rover, and Evan, what did you think of this movie?
Oh, I really liked it.
I was also a huge fan of this movie.
The directing, the cinematography is fucking awesome.
Yes, it's a very atmospheric movie.
Yeah, it takes place in, like, the Australian wasteland.
Yeah, what I like about it, too, so it takes place, it starts off 10 years after the collapse. It's like post-apocalyptic.
Which I liked. They don't have to explain shit.
There's no exposition about the collapse. Yeah, there's nothing that talks about what happened or what's happening. You just get a sense that the world has gone to shit.
Yeah.
Everyone's just, like, kind of trying to survive.
But everything's fucked.
Yeah, and it follows a character. Do they ever even say his name?
Oh.
I don't think they do.
Fuck. I think they...
There's a character played by Guy Pearce, and basically
He does have a name, but I can't remember where it is, because I read quotes and there's a name.
Yeah, but they never say his... He never says... He barely talks in the movie. There's not a ton of dialogue.
No.
But he plays a character who's basically just... His car gets stolen at the beginning of the movie, and he's trying to get his car back. That's the basic plot of this movie.
You know what's funny is his character, well, the kind of character he is, goes along with our top five.
Yes, he is quite the anti-hero.
Yeah, very much an anti-hero, because he's not good or bad. He's like set on a mission.
Yeah, so he's trying to get his car back, and he comes across what they describe as a half-wit, played by Robert Pattinson, played wonderfully by Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson, really good. Known for playing the sparkly vampire in all the Twilight movies.
Basically...
Trying to make a name for himself in this movie.
Basically, these fucking randoms come along. They're like a bunch of the, like crooks, I guess.
Yeah.
Like shitheads. They come along. Guy Pearce is drinking at some...
Weird
place. I
not
guess
a bar.
I don't know if it's... Whatever it is. Right. And these guys, they see...
they see his car.
Pierce's car, and they take off in it, and Guy Pearce's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And at that moment, it's almost like a switch goes off in Guy Pearce's head. He turns into the fucking Terminator.
Yes.
And he just goes after these people.
You don't know why he wants his car back. What I felt was a really good payoff when you do find out why he's trying to get his car back.
I didn't expect it. Yeah.
No. It watches kind of like a classic Western.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's,
the backdrop is like a Western.
Yeah, and it's really the basis of the story and what makes it interesting is it's basically two damaged guys in a damaged world kind of connecting.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Yeah, I mean, I really thought the end tied up like all the madness that happened in the movie. I love that there's no exposition.
Yeah,
there's very little dialogue.
Nothing explained. They wasn't really explained like there's, like, army personnel there.
Right,
and
but you don't really know why.
That's not explained.
Yeah.
And they're not, like, there's not a ton of them.
Yeah.
Because something happens and you're like...
Right.
Well, that was easy.
So, yeah, I highly recommend this movie to people, excuse me, who, like...
Not for everyone. No, I was going to say, not long at all.
No, it was a quick watch.
It's like an hour long, like maybe an hour and change.
No, it was an hour and a half.
Was it?
Yeah, because it's two parts and 45.
Yeah.
I mean, some people might say, oh, it dragged, but I don't think so. I think it paces fine.
It doesn't drag. It's a slow...
It is a slow...
It's a slow burn in the middle.
Yeah.
But it's got a really good payoff.
Yes.
I'd give it a four.
Yeah.
I'd give it a 3.5, 4.
I go 4. I'm comfortable.
I feel like I've been too generous with movies lately.
Well, I'm going to not get generous right now. I watched another movie. I watched a horror film. This came out in 2012, I believe. This was recommended by a lot of different horror sites. It's funny. This is what Rotten Tomatoes said, because Rotten Tomatoes give it like a little bit of a header.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes says, one of the smartest, most terrifying films in years. The name of the movie is Your Next. Your Next reinvents the genre by putting a fresh twist on a home invasion horror. That's not true. This movie was not original whatsoever. It was really tired. All the tropes were, I mean, they were just hitting every beat. And for all you grammar Nazis, it's Your Next, apostrophe R-E. I just wanted to get that out there. I wanted to make sure no one was going to piss and moan about that.
Oh, good, good. Nobody's going to fucking shit in their pants.
It was super paint by numbers. You could tell they thought it was a lot more clever than it really was.
Yeah.
It's just like a home invasion. It's like a family, you know,
And how many of those have been made?
Right. So I was like, oh, there's some kind of really cool twist coming up. And then like an hour in, I'm like... Fuck, there's no twist. This is just stupid.
Yeah.
So, I honestly, like, Your Next, 2 out of 5.
Is it like torture porn?
No, it's sort of like, it's just like a whole, like a group of dudes trying to like kill this family, and then like you find out why, but it's not a good payoff.
Yeah.
It sucked. I was kind of nervous coming out of this movie. Like, Cabin in the Woods may have ruined me for horror films.
Yeah.
Because I'm waiting, because I'm watching these horror films, and I'm going like, oh, there's going to be something. Something's coming.
Yeah.
Something cool is going to put this movie on its head, and it just didn't happen. I was like, wow, this is just really, like, paint by numbers, gore.
Well, obviously Cabin in the Woods is extremely tough to top.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
I'm just saying it kind of ruined me. It's like when you watch Sixth Sense and you're like, wow, what a cool twist. And then you watch the rest of the Shyamalan movies and you're like, oh, that twist sucked. Oh, it'll never be as good as that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I don't know.
Sixth Sense is a thriller, right?
Yes, I would say thriller. And one last movie real quick. I'm just going to talk real fast about this because it's kind of a niche audience that you would enjoy this. A movie called The Battered Bastards of Baseball. This is a Netflix original documentary about the Portland Mavericks, which was a independent baseball team started by Bing Russell, who was the father of Kurt Russell. And they were basically like this ragtag group of like drunk, like hardened, like, you know what I mean?
Like, I feel like we're going to talk a lot about Kurt Russell in this episode.
We may.
I read up on some interesting facts about Kurt Russell, but
and this is a really good movie. I'm not going to talk a ton about it, but it's a baseball documentary. So if you're a baseball fan, I highly recommend this. And it's just really good in general. I found this very interesting. They were like the only independent baseball team. Basically, like they formed this independent league. They had like open tryouts. Like any of us could have made the team if we were good baseball players. And they went and played actual minor league teams of Major League Baseball teams, and they kicked their asses.
Oh.
So it's a really fun. And like Bing, you come out of this like, oh, Bing Russell was kind of a badass. He was an actor back in the day. He was like the sheriff in like Bonanza or something. And like Kurt Russell was on the team because you know he played baseball, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I was one of the facts, right? He had like a .300 batting average.
He was good. He was really good. And yeah. Bing Russell, his dad, was like a big baseball guy and an actor. He kind of came up the same way. Yeah, Kurt Russell's on the team. He's all over the documentary.
Wow.
It's really good. Awesome. His dad seemed like a really awesome guy.
Yeah.
It's like a cool tribute to his dad, but it's like kind of this little piece of baseball that just gets lost in the shuffle that no one talks about.
Yeah.
So it's a really fun movie.
I mean, I saw it on Netflix, but
you should watch it. I want to know what you think of it.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Do you guys have any other movies you want to mention real quick? Real quickly.
Nothing.
Yeah.
No TV show. Outlander has been good.
Yeah. So there's some TV going on this. The summer for TV has been kind of piss poor.
Yeah.
But Outlander, I did watch the first episode.
The
I really
fall
liked
stuff
it.
Is about to kick off.
Yeah, and what's funny about Outlander is it actually gets referenced in the second season of Orange is the New Black.
Really?
Yeah, one of them is reading it.
That's
and it's
awesome.
Kind of funny. It's like kind of a throwaway thing, but it's really cool.
I feel like I just want to talk real quick about Outlander. It's a real change of pace for TV shows, for me anyways.
You called it a girl show.
Mom called it a girl show.
Okay.
But my mother, who watches Outlander and
who
likes
is a
it,
girl.
Who is a girl?
Who is a woman?
Is a girl?
She's like, oh, it's more of a girl show.
Yeah,
but I kind of get that.
I know where
but
she's coming from. It's a very general term, but I know what she's saying. It's like she was surprised that we were watching it.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting as hell.
It's awesome. It's really fun.
Made by Ronald D. Moore, the creator of
Battlestar Galactica. So if you're looking for something similar to Battlestar Galactica, not this show.
No.
It's not, it has nothing, there's no parallels whatsoever besides the fact that they're both good shows.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a little bit of a science fiction element to it, but not a ton. I mean,
yeah,
sort of. But I need
to
watch more. I watched the pilot.
It's a science fiction. It's a time travel show.
It watches like a novel with the voiceover and everything.
Yeah, but I enjoy it a lot. I enjoy it heavily.
Ooh.
It's three episodes in, and I really like it a lot.
So that's good. Corey, anything that you fancy lately?
Like I was saying, I started watching Orange is the New Black.
And I'm very proud of you for that, and I want you to keep going.
But I'm not going to talk about it on this because I told you I would write you something
yes,
for the
you
website.
Did. Yeah.
So
and
if
I'm very
anybody
much
cares
looking forward
what
to
I think about Orange
There's
is the New Black,
zero content this
you
summer.
Can read about it.
Cool.
And The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
So let's not.
There's been
gloss
so
over that.
Much
That's
Simpsons
kind of the,
going on.
I'll tell you, my cable box has not switched a channel.
No.
Since it's been on.
No. I mean, just.
It's been on the same channel.
Mm-hmm.
For the last.
I think we're on
like
season
8 days.
15 or 16.
Yeah, now it's getting kind of.
We're in the bad episodes,
we're in the dregs of The Simpsons.
I'm still watching it, though.
I mean, seasons 3 through 6. 8.
So, I was going to say, to be able to go back and watch season 3, watch season 4 again.
Evan had a good tidbit about this,
quick
too.
Quick news while we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Apparently, The Simpsons Marathon has been doing so good in the ratings that basically FX is going to turn into The Simpsons Channel.
Yeah.
They're going to restart the marathon and air episodes during the week from basically 6 p.m. to midnight.
That's awesome.
Every night.
It's crazy.
It's so good, though.
It's awesome. It's
very, it needs to be done, though.
And then the streaming site opens in
October,
which is awesome. You can stream any episode
it's gonna
of
be
Simpsons
October.
Ever.
I thought it was going to be after the marathon.
The thing that was cool to me about it is that catching it on the marathon, having people kind of like text you and let you know, like, oh, Hank Scorpio is going to be on at 3 or something.
I mean,
to be able to get those is really cool.
If you're listening to this, I'm sure you've been seeing on your Facebook newsfeed Simpsons quotes.
It was just a good revival because, honestly, it's a great show that's been sort of sullied by the fact that it just won't end.
Yeah.
And it just keeps trucking along with mediocre episodes.
I'm looking forward to the streaming, though, where you can go back and find the ones that you didn't
kind of
catch or didn't know about yet, and then you can just watch them on demand.
Plus, I mean, the prime episodes are season, I think, 3 through 10.
Right, and what I'm looking forward to do with the streaming is researching the later episodes, finding out which ones are good.
Because
what happens with The Simpsons is, basically up until season 10, it's like there's great episodes and a couple bad ones. And then it's basically there's a lot of bad ones with a couple great ones.
Yeah.
Interesting fact about the marathon.
Mm-hmm.
I got up for work. I get up for work at 4 a.m. Oh, I have to be at work at 4 a.m. I get up for work at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I fall asleep with my TV on. And since the marathon's been on, I've just had the Simpsons marathon on my TV. I got up at 3 a.m. to get ready for work. You know what episode was on?
What?
The New York episode.
Oh, wow.
They actually aired it.
Yeah.
And
that's a ton of
an episode that they never show since it's been on.
After 9/11, yeah.
Yeah, after 9/11, right. But
kudos
just
to them for showing it.
I just
and not
thought it was interesting. I was wondering, I'm like, are they going to show the New York episode?
Yeah, that is cool.
And they did show it.
All right, let's go through some quick movie news.
It's actually a funny episode, too.
It is. Yeah, it's no, a great. That's the Mountain Dew or crab juice.
Ew. It's a crab juice.
Except for Evan, it's Mountain. It's crab juice or Foster's.
He chose
the Foster's.
I'll take the Foster's.
So here's some quick movie news I jotted down recently. This is mostly just stuff I wanted to feed Evan.
feed me.
This is just
so
Evan bait.
There's been a lot of rumors about who's going to play Doctor Strange, and
I read this.
Right now, the front runner is Joaquin Phoenix.
They're saying they're in like final talks.
They're in final talks.
He is kind of Doctor Strange in real life.
I can see it.
It's fine because it needs to be an older actor. My vote is always Liam Neeson, but if you can't get Liam Neeson,
Liam's Neeson?
Yes, Liam's Neeson.
Liam's Neeson.
So if you can't get him, Joaquin Phoenix is a good actor.
Yeah,
the fact that he wants to go Marvel is understandable because those guys are all making bank.
Really? Why wouldn't you want to go DC?
Right. So I got that going on. Let me see what else I got. Robert Downey Jr. has come out and said that Guardians of the Galaxy is a better movie than Avengers.
I read that too.
As
a correct assertion.
I think he's just
Downey
speaking
Jr.
the truth.
Yeah.
That's all he's doing.
So I thought that was interesting. Evan, Ridley Scott says Blade Runner 2 script is in the can. What do you feel about that? Blade Runner script in the can. And he says it's good. Why would he say it was bad?
Well, I've read
that's a good point.
I've read that Harrison Ford is on board.
Oh, that's what I want to see—an old Deckard.
Yeah, I'll reserve my opinion.
Maybe they'll bring back old Daryl Hannah and old Sean Young.
Oh, please! I'll reserve my opinion. Oh, you mean drunk Sean Young? Drunk, crazy Sean Young?
Yeah, comes dressed up as Catwoman.
Yeah.
Shots fired on the podcast.
Well,
it's kind of known.
Yeah,
but I'll reserve. I mean, hey, I'm a huge Blade Runner fan. It's one of my top 10 favorite movies. I'll reserve my feelings towards the sequel when a trailer appears, I guess.
All right. So, and I promised you some good Star Wars stuff. So, right now they're saying that Darth Vader will appear in the movie. Sorry, the potential spoilers for Star Wars Episode 7. No, it's not spoilers.
It's just rumor mill
plot stuff. So they're saying that Darth Vader will appear in the movie, in flashbacks, which is really cool.
Okay.
They're saying that the Emperor will also be in the movie as a possible villain, which is interesting. In some kind of cloning situation, who knows? What? All right, so here's what I'm... This is what I'm getting out of this. That the villains right now are going to be known as Inquisitors. Do you know what that is, Evan? An Inquisitor is sort of a Jedi hunter. They're being introduced in the Rebels cartoon. The villains in the Rebels cartoon will be known as Inquisitors. And they're saying that they're going to... this is all rumor, is that they're going to be in the cartoon. The cartoon takes place between episode 3 and episode 4. And it's basically, it's Darth Vader's recruiting, like, Jedi hunters just to wipe out the Jedi.
Yeah.
And that's going to be what the villains are in the new movie, that they're going to be Inquisitors. So, right now the rumor is that the three Inquisitors will be Adam Driver, who's the dude from Girls, and... what's her face from Game of Thrones?
Yeah,
she's gonna be a Jedi.
Gwendolyn Christie.
Yeah, and the other one is the chick from 12 Years a Slave. I can't say her name. Lupita Nyong'o. Okay, that was good.
The wickedly.
Yeah, her.
The wickedly talented.
So those are gonna be your villains, and they're also gonna. The other rumor that I read that I found really interesting was. That the way that they're gonna, you know how they have all that content, the books and everything, like, you know, Luke Skywalker went on to get married and all of these children. Yeah. They're saying that he's been captured for 30 years. He's been imprisoned for 30 years, which wipes out all that canon. It basically is like a huge middle finger to like all the novels, everything. Like every fun adventure he went on,
it would make
bullshit,
sense.
He's gone.
Because he's with
he's
the beard.
Off the map, right.
They should just have Anakin, he was in a coma, and that's what the... that's what episodes 1 through 3 were. We're just like
just
this
fever
awful
dream.
Fever dream.
Yeah.
So who are the Inquisitors looking for?
They're looking for
Jedi.
They look for Jedi.
Yeah.
They're also like Sith.
So
like,
no one's gonna suspect
sympathizers.
The Jedi
they're like Sith worshippers, basically. There's all sorts of weird like that's what you know.
Are
they looking for Luke?
No, they have him.
Oh, they're
this is all rumors.
Okay,
so
all right.
Please take this with a grain of salt. But and the other thing I heard that I kind of marked out. Is that the Oscar Isaac character has the Millennium Falcon and is like putting around in space with it. And I was like, that's awesome because he rules.
It essentially sounds like it's going to be like a Jedi ethnic cleansing.
Sort of, yes.
Which I feel like stormtroopers need to... I mean, they are not...
And the other rumor that I heard was Johnny Boyega, who is the lead in Attack the Block. And he's in 24. He's a stormtrooper.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I don't know, like, and then they say, like, he lives on Tatooine and he finds Luke's hand and lightsaber. That's the big rumor going on, is that after the crawl, instead of, like, a ship flying, you know in every movie, like, it's Luke's
hand
with the fucking lightsaber, like, crashing down, like, going, I mean, why would his hand would disintegrate in the atmosphere, right? If it's the lightsaber, that would be cool.
Well, my kids thought.
Right. Well, he has nothing to do with this, so fuck him.
Good.
So yeah, a lot of interesting Star Wars stuff kicking around right
it's
now.
Crazy.
I mean, it sounds like the potential for a good movie is there.
I mean, and the other thing that they said is that starting with the Rebels cartoon, they're doing Marvel style storytelling where everything is gonna like it's gonna be this long narrative from the cartoon
good
to the movies to the side movies to the spin-offs to the...
I mean, that's what it needs to be, though.
It
that's
does.
What we said a while ago, is, like, they need to do, like, a Star Trek version of it.
Right.
Is just
expand
start
the universe.
Out, there should be a Boba
it,
Fett
it was
movie.
Funny,
there
too.
There should be
right.
side stories, all this stuff.
Oh, another cool thing I heard, and this is just a fan theory, is, you know how, like, they finally reveal that Boba Fett, like, Jango Fett, like, took a clone of himself, and, like, that's Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Somebody... was saying that in between Attack of the Clones and the Boba Fett that you see in episode in Empire Strikes Back is it's a dude who like killed him and took his armor and like it's just so that way you don't know what he looks like it's a clean slate like he's a Mandalorian that was like killed
well,
him.
Well, I mean, like the power of the internet now is kind of like if you come up with something like that, like they could scoop that and use
because
like, that is.
I mean, I always. whenever they revealed that, like, this is what Boba Fett is, killed the mystique of the character completely. It's like when they did Wolverine Origins. I don't want to know his fucking origin. Leave it a mystery, man. Yeah. Like, leave that shit, like, the shit that you can come up with in your head and speculate about. Yeah, it's more fun when they're like, oh, he's just this. And it's like, ugh.
It's what made Wolverine so interesting is, like, he didn't know what happened
to him. So much mystique behind the character. And they're like, well, let's tell everybody what happened. And it's like, well, that's boring. Yeah. I don't care.
It was a part of his character. Like,
well, that
he doesn't know what happened.
Humanizes a character that's, like, bigger than, you know, anything. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it's more fun when it's almost supernatural, you know?
Right. A lot of things floating out there
it's
right now.
It's almost like the character's over when you find out.
Right. All the mystery's gone comes from, and you don't care anymore. So that's all the Star Wars stuff that's going on. I'm interested. I'm on board.
Real quick, you mentioned to me, like, a couple weeks ago, like, they announced the, like, All the Star Wars films that are going to be coming out.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, because I can... Corey, you don't know about this. So, I think it's not Kenner. It's whoever is...
Hasbro.
It's Hasbro.
Yeah.
Whoever's doing the toys was like, oh, in 2014, this is coming out in 2015 and 2016. So, they basically... So, what they did was they accidentally revealed the spinoff movies. So, it's...
Max Rebo spinoff.
Close, no. It's gonna go Han Solo, Boba Fett movie,
sick.
Han Solo Origins,
okay,
Rogue Squadron.
Damn.
Yeah, that's the big
one.
Which
is gonna be like a young Luke, right?
No,
or a Luke.
I think it could go. I don't know.
No, that's Wedge Antilles.
It could go either way. It could go the
Wedge and Luke. I think
it will.
He joined late though.
It could go either way. It could be a revival of Rogue Squadron.
Yeah.
Because it could be a flashback of Rogue Squadron.
I mean, they were obviously like in operation before Luke
Skywalker.
It's gonna
be the Top Gun of the Star Wars.
It really
movies.
Will be.
It's gonna be a space Top Gun. Yeah.
It's gonna be amazing.
Permission to buzz the town.
It's gonna be so good. So that's gonna be interesting.
It's gonna be awesome.
With Tom Skerritt's in it.
So I don't even think we alluded to what the top five was, but so this week's top five, we're doing top five anti-heroes. This is one that Evan suggested that I was on board with. I was chomping at the bit once I started doing some research, and I am a big fan of my list.
I am a big fan of my list.
And we're going to hash this out right now. Corey, do you have any honorable mentions for later in the show?
Of course I do.
Good. Just checking. I sprung this on you late.
I'm always prepared every episode.
So, Evan, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, go.
All right. So I got a. Okay. Number five. Talking about a movie called From Dusk Till Dawn.
Ah, this is my number four.
Seth Gecko.
Damn it.
A great anti-hero. Great anti-hero, I'm sorry.
No, that's good. So we're talking about 1996's Robert Rodriguez film From Dusk Till Dawn. You have a really, like, badass...
It's a solid cast.
Yes. Well, this will be my number five. I'll slot my five down to four. He's kind of a dick. He's kind of an asshole.
Yeah. He's an asshole.
Who gets put into the hero role.
He's an asshole in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then he turns awesome.
And he's...
As soon as they get into Mexico, he's like, all of you are now my cool book.
Yes.
That's a direct quote.
Yeah. When they start doing shots at the Titty Twister, which is the name of the bar that they go to, he, like, just elevates. He's even kind of cool when they're, like, shooting up the liquor store and they're taking hostages. Like,
he's
they're
the
doing
voice
shit
of reason.
Things.
He's the voice of reason.
But he's still
the
voice of reason
of
over,
I mean,
between
well,
the two of them.
Obviously, we're talking about George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino as the two brothers.
Seth and Richie.
What makes him an anti-hero is he's a criminal. He's a bank robber.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always with his shithead brother.
Yes.
And he gets shoved into the hero role while facing down a legion of vampires in a bar.
I think this one jumped out to both of us because it's sort of like the antithesis of a... I fucking Wikipedia'd anti-hero just to get the actual
definition.
And it's just like... It's almost like main character taking on hero role, like, with, like, all the properties of a non-hero.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, so I was like... That was the first one that went off my head. I was like... I mean, that movie is super fun. That's a great movie.
Yeah,
it's dialogue's really, really good.
It's really well written.
It's fucking Reservoir Dogs and Fright Night.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially,
yeah, that is a great
it's
way to put
like
it.
It's kind of like the best of both worlds.
Yeah. I'll be honest, and this, you guys might poo-poo this a little bit, it's two movies in one, and I like the first movie.
The first movie's better.
Okay, good. Yeah. Because when I talk to horror fans, they're like, no, the vampires and all that stuff is great. I'm like, no, first part of that movie is mess.
The second part is kind of nonsense. It's just
ridiculous.
It's just mayhem.
Yeah, whatever they want.
The first movie is like...
When Selma Hayek turns into a vampire, it is a completely different movie.
Yeah, it's a completely different movie. It's like they start dropping out.
I don't mean it in a bad way, but the movie almost derails.
A little bit, yeah.
Like,
totally.
Itself, like, because I try, anybody who's not seen it, I'm like, we need to watch this movie. But then there, you know, it always kind of gets to that part.
It's a must-see movie, if you've never seen From Dusk Till Dawn.
I highly recommend it, and all those guys.
It almost takes on the same properties of World's End, where...
Yeah.
It starts as one movie and turns into another.
Yeah, and I like the first movie. I like the whole friends and the whole thing.
It's the story-driven, the action-driven. There's more
strength in that than just making it like an action horror and action sci-fi.
It's obviously not a giant list, anyways, but it's definitely my favorite George Clooney movie.
I don't know if I want to go that far.
I'm gonna go. That
Getting
far.
Back real quick to antiheroes, he's a great antihero. Mm-hmm. I he's so good that I wish there was an expansion, like more movies with that character.
I'm just gonna tell you real quick, if you want to watch something super painful and you might not like George Clooney afterwards, look up From Dusk Till Dawn outtakes.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah.
Intense.
Oh my god,
he keeps
getting his line wrong. And he punches the table.
It looks super. It looks super uncomfortable. If you're on set, you're like, hey,
but it's kind of funny. Like, in what manner? When the gag reel camera is off, is he laughing after?
Well,
who the hell knows?
I mean, like, do you think he's doing that in other movies, or do you think it was kind of like a method acting? That was his first big role, you know.
So I don't know. It's tough to say, but so that'll be both our number five. So you can go to your number four.
Sick.
Okay.
Good pick.
Thank you. Okay. So I got a two part.
You got a two-parter?
I had to pick two because they're the same actor.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go with Harry Callahan from Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
Not Man with No Name. William Money from Unforgiven.
Ah, yes, good call. These are both on my honorable mentions. So this is Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood.
Doing what he does best.
Yeah. Being an anti-hero is doing what he does best, because he's an anti-hero.
I think, like you said,
Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
I think the Unforgiven character maybe a little bit more, because that's an ex... That's like... That movie is like the breakdown of the anti-hero. You know what I mean? That's like showing you, like, he's just a man in
his
a
old life, he was a fucking villain.
Right, exactly.
And then
he was a bad person. Like, he was a murderer.
And he, like, kind of comes to terms with himself in the movie when he starts talking about... you know, what it's like to kill a man. And there's
it's a hell of a thing.
It's a hell of a thing, kill a man, take away all he's got and all he's going to have. Great quote. And the Harry Callahan...
Words to live by.
...is... this also coincides with another one on my list, but he's a cop, and towards the end of the movie... Well, okay, interesting facts about Dirty Harry, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Dirty Harry is based off a real guy. The guy who was chasing after the Zodiac killer.
I was going to say, Zodiac.
The guy who's going after the Zodiac killer is based off Dirty Harry. His name is like Joe Tocci or something like that.
Yeah, Joe.
Yeah.
And so in Dirty Harry, he's going after the Scorpio killer.
Ah, okay.
See that?
What's the other movie based on the same character, Evan?
I know this.
Bullet.
Don't say it. Bullet.
Oh, Bullet?
Yeah, Bullet.
Oh, no shit.
Same character.
Yeah, no shit. I love Bullet.
He was a real guy. He honestly had, like...
And he knew about it. He knew these movies were based off him, and he went and saw these movies.
Yeah. You guys are putting me to school.
And then...
Bring me to school right
and
now.
Then,
this is good.
He honestly had, like, the most kills out of any...
If you see a picture of him, he's wearing a bow tie and has a shoulder holster, and he doesn't look like Dirty Harry.
No.
He's like an Italian guy. Actually... In the movie Zodiac, he's played by Mark Ruffalo, who actually looks like him.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And he went and saw him in that movie, too,
as an
old man.
I mean, so he's been in, like, three movies.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That is a legendary life that you...
Remember that list I shared today from Cracked?
Yeah.
They talk about that.
Oh, okay.
No, it was a different list. I didn't share it today. It was a different list. I read one. It was, It was movies who are movie characters were based off real people.
Yeah. Okay,
and which is actually a really interesting read. Like, start looking up some of that stuff because you find things. I'm awful, so I don't have any off the top of my head right now, but the list is kind of compelling.
So what makes Harry Callahan an anti-hero is he's like a hard-nails cop.
Yeah.
So at the end of the movie, he catches up with the Scorpio killer and fucking shoots him in the head.
Yeah.
Which is not a...
It's not a hero.
Not a hero. No. He's supposed to put handcuffs on him.
That's the famous line, though.
And that's the famous line.
In the movie that he's like, I know what you're
which
thinking.
Which is different from earlier in the movie.
You know. Did he fire five shots or
yeah.
six shots?
It's an interesting fact about Dirty Harry is the two quotes. You know, he says it twice in the movie. It's different.
Right.
But yeah.
Which I always love bookend lines in movies.
Yes.
That is like a soft spot for me. You want to make a good movie for me. Just that bookend line.
Yeah, connect the dots.
One at the beginning and one at the end will always get me every time.
So that was my number four. It was a twofer.
Good pick. All right, my number four is a movie that was made in 1993. It was directed by a man named Joel Schumacher that I didn't know he directed this movie until I looked it up. My number four anti-hero is Defense from Falling Down.
Yeah. Oh,
Michael
great,
Douglas.
Great fucking pick. Great
he
pick,
is
man.
A fucking badass
that
anti-hero.
That was kind of like the ace up my sleeve. If you guys didn't pick that, that was going to be my
best. I mean,
best.
He's a fucking lunatic. And yeah. he does like two hero things in the movie.
He does two heroic things. He's sort of the villain and the hero. Because the Robert Duvall character is really the hero.
Yeah.
He's like the...
But he's not the main character.
But he's not the main character. And the Defense character always strikes a nerve with people. Not strikes a nerve, but kind of gets a rise out of people because he does shit that you want to do. You know, they won't serve the dude breakfast in the fucking fast food place because it's 10:45.
One thing I relate to is when he shoots the fucking missile at the construction people.
Oh, we're shooting a movie.
It's called Under Construction.
It's called Under Construction. And then the kid shows him how to use it.
Yeah, that's a great... I don't want to say a hidden gem, but that's a really cool movie.
It's an underrated movie.
It's very underrated.
That movie falls under a list of movies that if it's on TV, I'm watching.
You will get Shawshanked.
Yes, you will get Shawshanked. That is an actual term.
The cool thing about that movie for me is it has such a good narrative to it.
Yeah.
That he's kind of a putz at the beginning.
Right.
And you just see him just fucked with and beaten down. What? And I don't agree with it, but it makes sense.
What makes him not the villain is when he goes into the shop and he confronts the Nazi
he
guy.
Did,
and he kills him. That makes him not the villain.
Because
that
him
guy's
he,
the villain.
He still has morals.
He tells him, like, like you're a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's... He kind of has still a little bit of morals to him, even though everything he's doing is really fucked up.
I mean, it's all highly illegal.
highly erotic.
But, I mean, it has a human factor to it that it kind of proves that almost anybody, even like the straight-laced stockbroker guy,
and
can get pushed to
my favorite. My favorite part, it's just so small, but my favorite part is when Duvall flags down the other cop and he goes, "Defense!"
I don't know why I love that. Like he's on the hill and he's like, "Hey, defense!"
And he's like, always what? Makes me laugh.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. That's my number four. What's your number three, Evan? What do you got for number three?
Oh, real quick, one great scene I like in that movie is in Falling Down is
in Vietnam where you're a drummer boy.
that part. But when he when those guys are gonna fucking drive by him and blow him away and he ends up killing him.
Yes.
They like fuck their car up and he just like takes all their weapons and walks away.
Yes.
That's a great part. Okay. Sorry.
No, it's all good.
All right.
Number three.
See, I have a feeling we're gonna start crossing over.
So I got
cross the streams.
You don't cross the streams.
Don't give him a stick.
Okay. Number three, I got Dredd.
Ah, I knew you were going there.
Dredd.
Yeah.
Dredd is a very good anti-hero.
Great anti-hero because before he's a hero, he's not even a hero.
This is Dredd from Dredd 2012?
Yes, thank you. Dredd.
It's the only one.
I know.
Correct title, Dredd 3D.
Yes.
He's a great anti-hero because he's just a cop.
Yeah.
He's not a hero. He's like everything he does, he's following procedure.
Yes.
Yeah, he's doing a job.
Just, as fucked up as the procedures are, for the most part.
Like when you think he's doing something good, he's just gonna arrest you.
I love the fact that he's just this one thing. He like the character in that movie, he's just this like hard-laced, always frowning, dude with a helmet, Like, and he never breaks that. There's never, like,
He's driven.
He never, like, takes the helmet off and decompresses and becomes human. No. He's a legit fucking, like, robot in this
movie. He's like a machine.
Yeah, and it's so cool. It never breaks. And that's, I believe that's what makes that movie for me, is that character, the way they stick to it the whole way.
I think
it's consistent.
It's very consistent.
The best part of his character in that whole movie is towards the end, when he's pointing out all these things that the person that he's training... the whole movie, he's pointing all these things that she's doing wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you forgot your helmet. When were you going to realize that? You know, you let a perp go or whatever. And then at the end, the chief is like, how did she do? And he's like, she's a pass.
Yeah.
It's just my favorite part
everything
of the movie.
That they went through at the the whole thing is just like, she's a pass.
She's a pass.
Yeah. That's a great pick. I'm glad you picked it because it was on my honorable mentions list.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
My favorite thing about that character is like, wherever he is... whoever he's dealing with, he has to tell them what law they're breaking.
Yes.
It's very procedural.
Yeah, very procedural.
For anything for this podcast, I at least want somebody to be like, Jesus Christ, I'm just going to finally watch this movie.
I can't believe I haven't watched it.
Like, I will
twist your arm verbally until you watch this movie. When people haven't seen it, I always show them the minigun scene.
Oh, that's good.
And that is just like a feast for the whole
movie. The minigun scene, there's two scenes in that movie that really are near and dear to my heart. The scene when he gives a speech on the intercom.
Yeah, that's so good.
That
and
is sick.
The scene after the minigun scene where they're trying to see if he's still alive and he just comes out of the shadows with a guy and throws him over the edge and walks away.
Yes.
That, oh man, that is the best fucking part of that movie.
All right, so I'm going to go on to my number three. My number three is from a film that came out in 1999, directed by David Fincher. This character is called Tyler Durden and is from Fight Club. Tyler Durden is a very quintessential 90s anti-hero because he was super like anti-establishment, he was anti-everything, like life, like the like structure, everything, and like... It's interesting to say Tyler Durden's an anti-hero because, spoilers for Fight Club, which Tyler Durden am I talking about? You know, the projection or the actual Edward Norton character.
Same thing.
Same thing, obviously.
Same principles.
Right.
When it comes to Tyler Durden and the narrator, I mean, Tyler Durden turns into the villain at the end.
Tyler Durden's the villain and the narrator's the hero. But they're also the same person.
That's
true. It's kind of a great thing that ties into two documentaries that we've talked about before, where we talked about the Rob Lowe narrated documentary
from
about
the
80s.
Oh, yeah, the
80s. And then
the
90s.
Yeah.
And the whole kind of subtext of the 80s was kind of like the rise of the corporation and just
and
the big
business. And then the
90s
was
and it was a ton of money.
Yeah.
And the 90s is really like we realize corporations are like the beast that we've created.
And now we gotta
and then
them,
you have like the Starbucks riot and all this stuff. So yeah, absolutely.
I just thought that there couldn't be a list without the mention of Tyler Durden. If you've never seen Fight Club, just stop what you're doing right now.
He has very millennial gripes.
Yeah, yeah. It's a super. It's a really good movie that bridges the 90s into the 2000s.
If somebody asked me, kind of like, what was it like then?
Yeah,
I kind of say that. That's like the feeling.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much else to talk about. I don't want to.
It's well done. I mean. The first time that I tried to watch it, it's one of the few movies that came out around that time. I kind of failed at watching it the first time.
I didn't want
to
see it because the advertising was
the advertising was
awful.
I didn't really get it, but then when I actually sat down and gave it its due justice,
and it's
I kicked
yeah,
myself.
And it's one of those movies that you can't you read the book and the book supplements the movie.
Yeah.
If that's ever possible for a film. I mean, Fight Club, like, I watched the movie, and I was like, I was a huge fan, so I was like, I gotta read this book, and I was like, the movie's better, but the book is great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Evan, what do you got for number two?
1 second.
Is that an antacid?
Yes. Yes. We had subs.
We did, we had butt food.
Butt food. Okay, my number two.
Butt beer.
My number two, I'm really curious if this is on your list.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. Well, you just did your... Yeah, you said number three.
Yeah, I got two left.
All right, so my number two comes from a movie. I do this very sparsely, but a movie directed by Nicholas Winding Refn.
Ah, no, it's my number one! It's my number one!
Shit, sorry.
All right, I'll slide my number two to my number one.
All right. So this is the character called the Driver from the movie Driver.
No, the movie.
The movie called Drive. Sorry. Yeah.
This is my number one, and I'm actually gonna say this is my number one because this is my favorite antihero in any movie. It's my favorite antihero, and
still haven't gotten your copy of it on DVD because I missed it on Netflix.
Oh my god! All right, what can I say about Drive that hasn't already been said? A lot of things, probably. You talk about it. Drive is probably one of my top five favorite movies of all time.
Well, I'll start by saying it has one of the greatest opening scenes.
I love
with the car.
Everything about
with like the chase with the cops.
Yes, and everything.
One of the most realistic chase scenes.
I don't Star Wars shame people. I don't. If people are like, I don't like Star Wars, I don't care. But if you watch Drive and you're like, that was boring, I don't know what to do with you.
I'll say this about it, because I'm not sure if you can find the words for it. So I'll give you your words for it.
Okay.
Drive is a movie that you pore over.
Ugh.
That when I talked about it being on Netflix and you were like, definitely watch it, pull the trigger. Netflix swept the rug out from underneath me.
Took
they
it
pulled
away.
It so quick.
Yeah.
And I had every intention of watching it. And it's one of those ones that you tell me, I'll give you the DVD, you have to... I mean, I can't leave today without it. How about that? Just because I don't know a ton about it, it's one of those that, like, you don't really know what you're getting until you sit down to watch it.
Two things about Drive.
If I had to pick a movie which was one of the most mysterious main characters, this would be it.
Yeah. Let me explain to you this way. The Driver character played by Ryan Gosling in Drive, he plays a character that thinks he's in a movie.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you at all?
Yeah, absolutely.
He plays everything he does, he's pretending that he's in a movie. Like, he's very calculated. He's very, like, everything he does, like, he's cool, but he doesn't say a lot. He has no name. Like, he's a
He has a cool jacket.
He has a very cool jacket that
he's got,
I want.
Like a cobra jacket.
It's a scorpion.
Scorpion.
He's a character that thinks he's in a movie that's actually in a movie. Like for one, the cast in this movie is amazing.
Pretty amazing.
All right, you got Ryan Gosling, Carey Mulligan, Oscar Isaacs, fucking Bryan Cranston,
Christina Hendrickson,
Liam's Neeson is not in it. Albert Brooks is an amazing villain in that movie. Ron
fucking Perlman.
I mean, can you?
I mean, I'm in.
It's so good.
Where is it? Are these alphabetized?
It's in my other room.
It's in his Blu-ray.
It's in his safe bedroom.
It's in his case.
It's in his bedroom.
It's in his briefcase.
It's in the DVD player. It hasn't come out
yet. Yeah, like my special movies are in my room, but all the crap is over there. No, it's not true.
It's in the vault.
There's something about Drive that like this. All right, for one, this. I mean, I'm not even talking about the character.
Really
the soundtrack
cool.
is amazing.
Soundtrack is amazing.
Because I love that song from it.
Yes, the Kavinsky song.
Yeah, it gets me going.
It's so good.
I got like two versions of it. It's really neat.
So good. Just something about Drive. It's very atmospheric.
It's a mysterious song for a mysterious movie for me.
Yeah, I will say I love Nicholas Winding Refn, who's the director of this. Everything that people have criticized Drive about is true about Only God Forgives. Is that it's boring and it's plotting and it doesn't make any sense. When people say that about Drive, I kind of get mad. I'm like, no, it makes perfect sense. Everything about it is perfect.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a perfect movie.
It kind of becomes a thing that it's kind of like the art of watching a movie. Sometimes people sit down with like expectations and
yeah, you go in with the best of intentions, but you're just not in the right mindset.
And
there are certain
times where you just have to sit down and know how to watch a movie.
Yeah,
you have to be patient and you have to let it happen.
Yeah.
And take it for what
it
is.
I agree with that.
It's just such a strange character,
and you get more out of it.
I remember we saw that at the AMC at Boylston.
Yep.
And I remember just like, what did I just watch? Like that movie was.
That was a movie I was so happy I saw in the theater.
There's a part in that movie, right around the middle, inside the elevator. I won't give anything away.
Oh,
that is one of my favorite movie scenes of all
time. And that scene is what makes him an anti-hero, because he does a fucking really...
It's a bad thing.
He does a really fucking gruesome thing.
He was a bad boy.
He does a very great thing, and then a really bad thing, and he did the great thing because he knew he was going to do the bad thing.
Yeah. And the thing that he did is so bad that, like, a classic hero would never go that far.
No.
And then,
and you see everything.
Yeah.
Was it love in an elevator?
It was, and then it became something else in an elevator. Like
blood in an elevator. Like,
it was love in an elevator, and then it was blood in an elevator.
Brain matter in an elevator. All right.
So that's my number one, and I'm not backing off of it. I will say that my number two is Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver.
Oh yeah.
Great. I mean, that's the anti-hero. That is like,
Of course.
That is like, and that's a movie that I watched for the first time and I thought was kind of boring, but when I watch it now, it's different.
Yeah.
It feels different.
Still on Netflix.
I liked it when I saw it.
It's a really good movie.
He's a fucking weirdo.
He's super strange.
He's, you know what? That movie's a tough watch.
It is a tough watch, but
it's good.
But what makes it a good watch is that De Niro acts the shit out of that movie.
Yes,
he's great in it.
He's really good.
I mean, he's just one of those actors that a lot of people kind of hit their crest in their career. He's kind of been on a downward slope since he started.
Since Goodfellas.
All respect to Robert
De
Niro.
Since the mid-90s, although he was good in Silver Linings Playbook.
I'm not shitting on him.
Trust me, you're in good company. I know what you're saying.
It's because...
He's taken a lot of paycheck movies over the last 10 years.
It's because he started so high, though, that even on the descent, he's still better than most.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not...
No, there's
movies... I mean, how many times can you touch gold, though?
There's paycheck movies, and then there's, like, wow, he's trying.
Yeah.
Like, so...
I mean, I blame Hollywood as a whole, anyways, for, you know, I mean, there's not, like, a ton to choose from, so.
So, Evan, let's just get to your number one and the reason why we did this list.
Yes, my number one is a movie directed by John fucking Carpenter.
I looked it up, that's his middle name.
John Carpenter is his actual
middle name.
Or Brutus.
John Brutus.
I don't know where you got that, but I like it.
or
John Brutus fucking Carpenter.
Or it's fucking steak.
Steak. He was looking for something tough.
John Steak and Potatoes Carpenter.
Yes.
Yeah. John fucking Steak and Cheese.
John Unsweetened Tea Carpenter.
John Ribs.
Food we like now.
Yeah. All right, so.
John Omelette, yep.
John Bourbon.
Straight.
I'm talking about a movie called Escape from New York.
Mm-hmm.
The character, Snake Plissken, is my favorite anti-hero of all of cinema.
Yes.
Because of one scene
in
the whole movie.
Uh-huh.
And it happens about, I don't know, half hour in maybe. But, you know, he's in New York and he's walking around. He's doing his thing. He's looking for the fucking president. Who he thinks is probably dead.
Wait, quick thing. If you didn't know what the movie's about, they hire a convict to go to New York to save the president.
Well,
New York is now an island, which is also a prison.
An island penitentiary.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you've seen Escape from New York because it's a great fucking movie.
It is a great fucking movie.
You should
have
seen it. You should at least know about
it. Okay, all right. I apologize, Evan. What I should have said was pause here.
Yep.
Go watch Escape from New York.
Yeah.
And now you're back.
And now you're back.
Okay. So go ahead.
Welcome
back.
So,
yeah, Snake Plissken, he's like an ex-con.
He's also a war hero.
He's also a war hero, which is why they pick him, why they send him in. He was with, he's not with Texas Thunder.
No.
But they heard of him, too.
He was in Black Light.
Black Light. That was his unit. Yeah, Black Light.
Unit Black Light.
And then Sergeant Hulk. Played by what's his name?
It's Lee Van Cleef.
Yeah, Lee Van Cleef.
Holy shit.
He's heard of him too.
And that was
Texas Thunder.
Yeah.
So they send in Snake.
Special Forces Texas Thunder.
Special Forces Unit, Texas Thunder.
We've heard of you too,
We've
Snake.
Heard of you too, Snake. So
great dialogue
Snake's
in that part,
walking
by
around.
The way.
He's walking
great
around
dialogue.
The prison of Manhattan, New York. And he's in a building, and I think this is actually a deleted scene.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Wow.
They took it out. But there's a rape scene going on. There's, like, a fucking full-on rape, and Snake just walks in a room, sees it, and he fucking walks out.
Wow.
Doesn't do anything about it. Which is what makes him, like, the quintessential anti-hero. Like,
I can see why they took that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, totally.
He's a hero.
It's graphic.
Ugh.
He's a hero.
Right.
Sees something so horrible going on, does nothing about it.
Yeah.
The way it's justified in my mind,
I think,
is that
it says
it would compromise his mission.
It says so much that
they
would
know, like, it would kind of blow his cover,
right?
So, like, if he stepped in and did something,
well, no, he's on a mission. He's got a protocol. This is, you know, he's going from point A to point B. This shit's happening over there. Regular hero would have broken that shit up, saved the girl, whatever. But he's just,
I mean, he's on a short fuse. Yes.
I mean, in my mind, that's Snake accepting his surroundings. He's like, of course that's going on. I'm in fucking New York.
Yeah.
Well, it's a fucking prison. Like, mm-hmm. I'm, of course, you know, I don't need to get involved in that.
But I will say what makes him the number one anti-hero is that, like, he embodies, like, a lot of the fun stuff that, like, gets, like, that a lot of people have taken from the Snake character. Like, you'll see it, if you watched Escape from New York for the first time today, it wouldn't affect you as much because you've seen other characters act like him. He's got the eye patch, smoking butts, he's, like, growling and all, like, you know what I mean? But when you first saw that, like,
he was
badder than Dirty Harry.
The thing that,
like,
you have to remember is that Snake Plissken's not like a bunch of characters that you know. Everybody took it from
him. That's
my
point, exactly.
Yeah. And the cool thing about it is, like, the whole dialogue with a Lee Van Cleef scene, he sounds like a disgruntled veteran.
Right.
He sounds like a lot of kids nowadays, where they say, the president's been kidnapped. And his reply is, the president of what? Yeah. And it's kind of like, that's like an asshole, but fuck you, government, answer to it. And, you know, it's like, you can tell he's done a lot of stuff, and he's been used a bit, and he's bitter.
He's,
and they continue to use him.
You can tell right off the bat, Snake is like a veteran who's been fucked over. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's another parallel because it's
so well.
It's early 80s, it's like post-Vietnam.
Post-Vietnam,
so, like, that stuff is all in play.
You know, I mean, the thing is, and it's kind of more of like my thesis about these types of movies. I know I'm getting fired up.
No, I like it.
It's my thesis about these kinds of movies. And I'm talking Escape from New York, and I'm talking Die Hard and Running Man and these things, is that a lot of people who consider themselves, like, movie fans or intellectuals and stuff kind of really poo-poo these movies. And it's more or less like, it's not cinematic masterpiece. We're talking about good storytelling.
Yeah.
And when you watch these, like, small, subtle things, like President of What, it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, it is the smartest writing.
I don't want to know. I'm gonna bring it up, but I'm like, where is this movie in the Carpenter scale? It's definitely up top.
It's up towards the top.
Is it the best Carpenter movie? No.
It's in my top three.
Directed? No.
I got three.
I'd say The Thing might be his best movie.
I mean,
with Escape from New York as a strong
directorial, but not written, obviously.
No.
Because
for you
two
or in general?
John Carpenter's.
For you.
For me?
For, yeah,
like
personally.
A personal list. Let's
Escape,
do top three
Escape
John Carpenter.
Escape from New York's my favorite.
Okay.
Number two is The Thing. Number three is Halloween.
I was going to say The Thing, Halloween, Escape from New York for me. Yeah.
But what
and
about...
I mean, I'm honestly...
But no...
But what about fucking Big Trouble Little China?
I don't know.
You can't decide.
I can't decide. I want Buzzsaw and Dynamo.
No. I also want Buzzsaw and Dynamo.
I'm gonna choose
right,
the obvious thing. It's not gonna be a trick to anybody who's listening to anything. I'm gonna go to Big Trouble in Little China is my first
Real
one.
Quick. Hold on.
Then
Corey, can I stop
from
you?
New York,
can I stop you 1 second?
Yes, sir.
Let me finish up my point about Snake Plissken being a great
anti-hero,
then let's talk about John Carpenter as an amazing filmmaker. Okay, there's the last scene in Escape from New York, which it is another, you know, I talked about the rape scene, how he does nothing about it. Other things that he does makes him a, like, every fucking friend he finds, he wants to kill them.
Yes.
Like, he finds Brain, true. And he's like, fuck off. And then when he finally saves the president, you know, the very man he saves at the end of the movie, he fucks over.
Yeah.
He fucking gives him the wrong tape that was supposed to, like, change, you know, humanity or whatever.
It was for the
UN
meeting.
It was for, like, Cold Fusion or something like that. He gives him the wrong tape. He gives him the fucking, like, big band music or whatever it is. I love the part. I love the fucking part at the end where the president is, like, getting cleaned up for, like, the big interview after he gets saved. And Snake's standing there off the side, and he's like, you know, a lot of guys died trying to save you. What do you have to say about them? And the president's like, I want to thank them, you know, they've done a great service.
Classic politician.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've done a great service.
Played by Donald Pleasant.
And Sank kind of gets the impression like he clearly doesn't
give a
shit.
Oh,
and, yeah. And Sank's like, yeah, fuck this guy. And he walks away. And you find out he gives him the wrong tape. And the last fucking scene, he's tearing up the fucking tape.
Yeah.
That's what was supposed to like turn the tide of whatever.
Yeah.
You know? And that is a fucking anti-hero. Gave a big middle finger.
He saved the day and fucked the day at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a quick point to make about
it was basically him saying like, "Fuck this place."
It's a very Cold War movie, and if you like the original Red Dawn, this is pretty much the same vibe.
It's a similar vibe, but it's very
a similar
different
thing.
Movies.
I mean, it's a different plot, but the whole political crisis of it is still that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like Russia and China were coming for the UN, and if the president doesn't show up with his tape,
right,
all hell's going to break
loose. I want to put the whole snake thing to bed right now. His best moment is the end of Escape from L.A.
Yeah.
He shuts the world down back to the Stone Age,
yeah,
which is amazing. It's one of the best endings to a mediocre movie.
And I agree.
It has a twist.
And
it has a twist.
Because of that, I wish that they just kept on with those movies. Like keep doing that. Keep doing the end where he finds some way to fuck the world over.
That would be an interesting list. Like, mediocre movies with amazing endings. Like, Terminator 3 is a really cool ending.
Yeah, it does.
Terminator
3
and that's not a good movie,
no,
but the end is great.
It's awesome.
So do we want to get into this Carpenter thing real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
I saw you clicking away.
I was trying to click away. I did Google search maybe why John Carpenter's a genius to try and support a...
It's weird because now he's like this like anti-Hollywood, like his last movie, like his last handful of movies have not been good. But man, that guy ruled the 80s. Man, did he make some fucking amazing films from the 70s and 80s.
We can talk about it and maybe for some of the listeners, put some of these movies to bed with one last John Carpenter hurrah.
I'm not, off the top of my head, I don't think I'm comfortable coming up with a top, like my favorite.
Neither am I. Because
my favorite went from Halloween to The Thing to Big Trouble in Little China in the span of about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I was just like, no,
well,
I don't know.
You can't choose. It's like, we can't rate them, but I mean, to just talk about them.
Because
like,
I can say right now, in all honesty, after four beers, that if there was one filmmaker that I could legitimately meet and have a conversation with,
yeah,
it's John
Carpenter.
Because he seems like he's the most
interesting
dude.
That's why.
He does the...
He writes things.
He does
the soundtracks like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, he can direct the shit out of anything.
John Carpenter falls into the list of my favorite directors.
Right.
Who made amazing movies... way back when, and then made shit.
Yeah.
But there's something different about John Carpenter than the other ones that are my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Is John Carpenter's head is not up his ass.
No.
And the other ones are
very down to earth.
And I'm talking about James Cameron.
Yep.
Ridley Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
You could. Yeah, that's a great.
But
that's
really true.
I completely
all three
agree
of those.
With you.
They're all their fucking
you
heads
could,
up their ass.
Yeah, you could tell that they think they're the fucking.
Steven Spielberg
the bee's knees.
Is the biggest Steven Spielberg
yes.
fan that you
yeah.
could ever.
Yeah.
George Lucas is.
And
on
I'm not
that
talking
list
shit
too.
Because.
And the only reason John Carpenter has made a great movie because he fucking hates Hollywood.
Yeah, and they hate him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't
but
follow
that
rules.
Kind of,
as
but that kind
as
of makes
set, as it is.
That kind of makes John Carpenter though like. Our movie director.
Yeah.
In a very real
way. He's a
way,
very punk rock
he
movie
makes
guy.
Movies that I want to see, and then when, you know, when there's nothing there, he's like, fuck
but,
you guys.
But unfortunately, I feel like he kind of lost it, because we're in a day and age where you can make anything you want. Like, indie is indie. Like, he could do whatever he wanted, and I feel like he's just kind of, I don't care. Which
well,
sucks,
I
but...
I mean, but retirement is a real thing. Though.
Right.
So, I mean, to be fair, you never know.
Like, I guess Ghosts of Mars was supposed to be great, and it got completely studio muddled, and he bailed, and he was just like, fuck it, I'm done with this.
I mean, you can't really, like, twist somebody's arm into keep making...
Yeah.
You know, we just have to appreciate
it. So, yeah, let's not come up with a definitive top five John Carpenter. Let's just say John Carpenter is an amazing man, and we wish him well
made
in
great
his future
fucking
endeavors.
Movies. Yeah.
Prince of fucking Darkness.
Prince of Darkness is so good.
Another great thing about fucking John,
really underrated
John Carpenter is like he made all of his own fucking soundtracks and they're awesome.
Let's say this. We'll put some John Carpenter recommendations up on the internet, up on the website.
Yeah, totally.
And if you want to do some homework, if you want to do some homework, we'll put some John Carpenter recommendations and some brief synopsis in. You
I
can check
promised
it out.
You a movie that I wanted to send to hell.
You were going to send a movie to the Lake of Fire this time.
You know, and I didn't get the chance to finish the last episode
to hear what got sent
to hell.
I don't remember because it's gone.
The last movie that we sent to hell?
It's gone. It's gone from my memory.
It's...
Yeah,
it doesn't exist. I don't know.
I'll have to listen.
You're going to have to listen to the episode because I don't remember.
And then when I hear it, I'm going to be like, what are they talking about?
This week, I want to send to hell...
All right.
...a movie that took place sort of in hell. I don't know. I can't even segue into this because I fucking hate this movie so much. It makes me so mad.
I think I know where you're going with
Freddy versus Jason. Fuck it. Freddy vs. Jason is my most hated horror movie.
This
of all
was
time.
Talked about earlier.
It was talked about earlier, and I realized that this movie needs to go to hell.
Not on the show, like we.
Let's
we,
say
we
yeah.
Talk, yeah.
Let's say why.
I don't
because we all have personal reasons. I know you don't need to justify it to
because
me
because it didn't need to be made.
Because one, it didn't need to be made. Two, it played on zero of the strengths of any of either of the characters.
It ripped itself off.
It ripped off, like, it was...
Chainsaw Bob.
Yeah, it was so cliched 2000s. Like, it's just painful to watch. It's not interesting. They, like, have a kung fu battle. Jason's the hero at one point. It makes no sense.
It's bad.
Fuck that movie.
It's bad.
It's just terrible.
Did you use your middle fingers?
I did.
Okay, good.
I did. I was counting down with my fingers, and I used the middle fingers a couple times.
It was Double Freedom Rockets.
Yes, it
Fuck
was Double
movie.
Freedom Rockets. So, I'm sorry if any of you guys like that movie. It's not good.
It's bad.
It's not good.
I'm not sorry.
So, I'm going to conjure up a little juju, a little... All right.
Beelzebub.
And it's gone.
Or what?
So they stopped making Jason movies after
Jason
X.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And I'm glad they never crossed him over with Nightmare.
And then they remade it.
Fuck.
Oh, the remakes
were
bad.
Maybe we'll send those back. That was a weird jump too,
because that was kind of like a long gap between Jason X and then the remake, and nothing happened in between.
No. Which is probably for the better.
Yeah.
Nobody was asking for it.
No, nobody wanted that.
No.
No.
Thank God they never made it.
So let's wrap this episode up. We had a lot of beer. We talked a lot of anti-heroes. It didn't fly
my favorite kind of hero.
It didn't fly off the rails, but we got fire tonight.
Yeah,
I like fire.
Did we have any good honorable mentions?
We didn't have any.
I have a couple.
We didn't have any.
In testament to the great anti-heroes, we had 9% alcohol beer.
Yeah, we did.
And that kind of what?
That got us.
Would you like me to mention any of them, or do you want to just
I'm
going to
go do a very anti-hero thing. I'm going to go pee on the seat.
He's
going to
go take a dump.
Don't pee on the
seat.
No,
I'm not going to do that.
Go ahead. Wait.
So, I don't know positively if it makes a list, but a movie that I know you also like, Menace to Society, 1993.
Who's your anti-hero?
Kind of all the characters.
I don't know if you really captured the essence of the
list. It's not my favorite.
Okay.
It's not my favorite
move on
choice
quickly.
For it. We'll move on.
You said that.
Watchmen?
So, Rorschach.
Rorschach.
Okay, yeah, that's a good pick.
So, 2009's Watchmen... directed by Zack Snyder, stars Jackie Earle Haley, Patrick Wilson, Carl Urban.
Skip it.
Yeah.
John McClane, I thought, was a good anti-hero.
He wasn't anti enough for me to make the list.
Yeah.
Was it because he was still definitely like the he didn't really do anything sketchy.
No,
if he had let Ellis die, I think that would have made
he made some people's list. He wasn't good enough to make mine. Right now we're at Rorschach and John McClane.
Rorschach's like the Punisher.
Yeah,
who is a great anti-hero. More so the comic book, not
what
the movie.
What about Pulp Fiction?
I had Jules Winfield on my honorable
yeah,
mentions.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, you know, John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson.
More so Samuel Jackson as the hero.
Yeah.
As the anti.
Great anti-heroes in TV, fucking Walter White.
Yeah.
He's like the greatest anti-hero
yeah,
in TV,
because
I think.
He's, yeah.
What about Snatch?
Oh, well, which the Jason Statham character?
Is every hero in Game of Thrones an anti-hero?
Yes.
I was just
yeah,
thinking that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I was like, as soon as you mentioned, you know,
yes,
on TV. And then, lastly, I know we already talked about him, but Gran Torino.
Oh, yeah. That's,
yeah.
He really
yeah.
is...
As if being old is...
And being old and racist.
Being anti-hero, then yes.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I really love that movie.
Simon Pegg, I think, from Shaun of the Dead, because he's like...
Because he's like a whiny...
He's like a
like,
bumbling idiot.
Yeah.
But he's a
yeah,
hero.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I mean,
he's an unlikely hero. I wouldn't call him an anti-hero.
Reluctant hero.
A
yes.
reluctant hero.
What about fucking Ash from Army of Darkness?
Also he's, a reluctant
yeah,
hero.
No,
anti-hero.
Anti,
because
yeah,
he's a fucking
he's
asshole.
Kind of a jerk.
He's a jerk.
I don't even know these assholes.
Like when he comes back from getting the book and he dunks his head and like, oh, the promise once again. He's like, yeah, get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah.
All right,
and then Kill Bill Volume 1.
Oh, the bride.
Yeah.
More of a revenge flick, but...
All right.
No, she's an anti-hero because she's,
yeah,
she's
no.
like an assassin.
Yeah, she's not a good
and,
person.
And Scarface.
Yeah, he's like Walter White.
I think I've come to terms with the fact that I don't really like that movie.
And you were a big fan too.
I was a big fan.
You know what the biggest
I think I've come to terms with the fact that I don't really like it.
You know what the deal breaker for me about that movie is
the fact that like people like worship that character and that character's a piece of crap.
Well,
I think that says a lot
but I mean,
where we
like,
are right now.
Like storyline wise is when he starts developing a thing for his sister.
Yeah.
That part
strange.
I'm like that wasn't needed.
There's kind of like the middle bit. It's like, in retrospect, if it was a little bit shorter, I think I would appreciate the movie.
Yeah,
longer.
No, I'm out on Scarface.
You have a love-hate relationship with that movie.
I do. I totally
you don't
do.
Know
you
do like
you're
it.
You're kind of like
but
an
you
on-again, off-again Scarface.
Yeah, like I'll love it, and then I'll watch it and be like, this sucks. And then like I'll miss it for like a year, and I'll be like, oh, Scarface.
It's, okay, best way I can... describe Scarface for me is it's been like tainted. It's been tainted by
pop culture.
It's
been overdone.
Yeah.
It's been overdone.
It's been done better.
I
yeah.
agree.
Absolutely.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Alright, cool. So that was a thing we did. That was an episode.
Stuff happened.
That was epic.
It was a good episode.
That episode had a lot of fire. A lot of fire.
I love anti-heroes.
Some piss.
It had some
grainy piss to it. It had some smelly, like, dark piss to it. You know that smelly, dark
the first
piss you
one
had?
Of the night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when you haven't really drank a lot of water recently, yeah. and you, oh, that smelly, dark asparagus piss. That's what that episode was.
It was gritty. And it should have been gritty.
It should have been gritty.
Talking anti-heroes.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. All right. So,
That episode was a piss shit.
That was a piss shit.
I hope your friends listen to this.
And they just shake their head and just like, I don't know what's wrong with
I think
guys.
We've expanded some vocabularies.
I hope so.
I really
yeah.
hope so.
Some
of our
those,
international listeners
for those,
possibly are.
Piss shit! Real quick, for those that don't know, a piss shit is when you take a piss and it fucking stinks.
Yeah.
And it's really dark.
Yeah.
And you're like,
what, shit.
What just came out of my dick? And or vagina.
And it was a piss shit.
It was a piss shit. Yeah.
Oh.
So take that as you will.
It's a piss shit.
It's a piss shit.
It fucking stinks. It shouldn't stink.
It shouldn't happen.
Because you're only peeing.
It's the thing that should not
you're
be.
You only
should maybe go see a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. It's,
or call
or sober up.
Or something.
Or don't eat any more asparagus.
Some
yeah.
Dr. Drew or WebMD.
Stay off of WebMD.
Yeah. Stay off of WebMD. You're going to
have
fucking
dick
Ebola by the time you're done reading it.
Exactly. Alright, let's end this episode before we say something we're not supposed to.
Jesus Christ.
Alright, so that was an episode of Pop Junk Movies.
We talked about anti-hero, we talked John Piper.
Piss!
We talked about piss shits. It was a good episode all around.
It was.
I drank Foster's.
Yeah, you did.
Yes.
And then in some Sierra Nevadas. I had a lot of
really
pumpkin. I don't think I want any more pumpkin.
It got really hot in here.
It dig a. It's super hot, right?
It's fucking hot. All right.
If
this was cool down. Television, you wouldn't notice. I took my shirt off.
Yeah, we're all sleeveless right now.
Oh yeah. And it's not even
as anti-hero should be. They don't need sleeves.
It's not hot out, but I think all the windows are closed.
Yeah.
Well, that's for the planes.
That's true. It's for the audio.
Some production.
I keep meaning to end this episode, and I don't. All right. We're
having too much fun.
We are having too much fun. That was Pop Junk Movies Top 5 Anti-Heroes Who Take Piss Shits. Thanks for joining
all
us.
All anti-heroes take piss shits.
They do.
Because
they're gritty.
They're extremely gritty. Snake Plissken fucking stops at one point in the movie and takes
a
piss
shit.
What's
that feel like?
And he's like,
sand.
He takes a piss shit and he's like, ugh.
Yeah, he even the Duke of New York ain't number one is kind of like, what stinks?
All right, I gotta end this shit. Okay, thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Get a mink, baby girl, let's ride.
That's
you
right.
The number one star. We gon' glide and go straight to the mall and tear down the inside. Yeah. Prada, Gucci, full length leather. Bourbon's cooler, Gucci sweater. 20 inches pop my feather. The Birdman dead, I fly in any weather. Alligator seats with a head in the inside. Smile on the dash, G-Wagon, so fly.